Hello, everybody. We're interrupting the normal course of programming to go to live to southern Lebanon in Ma'arun al-Ras to a speech by Hezbollah Secretary General Hassan Nasrallah. Let's listen in.
Of martyrdom and the month of righteousness and the month of speaking for righteousness. And so for this reason, Imam Khomeini, may peace be upon him, may peace be upon his soul, he chose that the last Friday of Ramadan be the Quds Day because of the sanctity and dignity and the honor of this period, of this month, of these days, of this day specifically. And we have chosen this year that our gathering and our commemoration for Al-Quds Day, we have chosen it to be in this village, in this particular area. Of course, I congratulate you. You are filling your eyes with the scenes of the Palestinian hills, and you fill your hearts with the scent of Palestine as well. We have chosen this specific place also because of its significance. The sacrifices of our people in Lebanon, and especially in southern Lebanon, and the sacrifices and the jihad of the resistance fighters and the Lebanese army, all of these sacrifices have transformed many villages and cities and hills. They have transformed them into symbols. When you remember these places, you recall the meaning and the significance and the value of jihad, the nationalist value, the humanitarian value, the faithful value, the ethical value. And one of these symbols is the village of Ma'arun al-Ras and what Ma'arun al-Ras means, especially via its location and its sacrifices and the perseverance of its inhabitants and resistance fighters in the July 2006 war. In addition, this place witnessed, just a few months ago, it witnessed a historic, heroic stance by the men, women, youth, men and women, Palestinians from the refugee camps, those who stressed and assured and underscored that they hold on to their right to return to their homes, and they told the whole world with their blood that tens of years cannot make the Palestinian land a forgotten land for their people nor for our ummah. It will never be forgotten from the people or from the ummah. Today, we meet to commemorate this occasion which Imam Khomeini wanted, and after him, Imam Khamenei also focused on. They wanted this day to be an occasion to commemorate a cause which the hegemonic powers and the West and all of their agents are trying to push to forgetfulness. They were trying to make this cause a forgotten cause. We are commemorating it so that it stays in our memories. And we are also commemorating this occasion so that it stays in our responsibility. So it remains part of our responsibilities, a jihadist responsibility, a political responsibility, a media responsibility, a financial responsibility, a responsibility of perseverance, a cultural responsibility, a responsibility of faith. And we also stress that Al-Quds and Palestine, they are part of our religion, of our culture, of our fasting in Ramadan, of our prayers, of our jihad, of our civilization. Without this, prayers and fasting and jihad and all of these values, they lose a lot of their meaning and their essence. My dear brothers and sisters, in the time which I have, I will speak about many developments and from the gateway of Palestine because of its relationship with Palestine. I'll speak about these subjects. I will speak in brief, as brief as possible. I'll speak about Palestine first of all and the latest developments regarding Palestine. I will speak about Egypt, also from the gateway of Palestine. I'll speak about Libya, Syria, and I will end my speech with Lebanon. I'll begin with Palestine and the latest developments regarding Palestine. Now, first of all, regarding Jerusalem al-Quds, the holy city, we must be vigilant. We must raise our voices high regarding what al-Quds is being subject to, this holy city, what is being subject to daily, trying to Judaize al-Quds, the Judaization of Quds, whether it be regarding the Islamic and Christian sanctities and the threat of destruction, or the building of new Israeli religious houses, or strengthening the chokehold on the inhabitants of Al-Quds in their areas of inhabitance, or forcing people, the inhabitants of Al-Quds, to leave, or building more settlements in Jerusalem, Al-Quds, and around Al-Quds. Just a few days ago, a report was made, an annual report by the International Al-Quds Committee or association. This is an annual report, and this report really is a worrisome report which calls for concern. There are media responsibilities and political and financial responsibilities towards Al-Quds. And if we don't speak today about the jihadists, the direct jihadist responsibilities in order to protect the sanctities and in order to help the inhabitants of Al-Quds, many countries and governments and people of our Arab and Islamic world must take this responsibility, in addition to the Palestinian people, especially the countries of the Arab League and the Arab League itself and the OIC, or the new organization with its new name. Now, Palestine, we must stress on this day, on Al-Quds Day, that Palestine, which we believe in, which is the right of the Palestinians and the right of this Ummah, Palestine is from the river to the sea. And so, on this day of righteousness, we once again say that nobody has the right to abandon one bit of sand of Palestine, nor have they right to abandon any drop of water from Palestine. And we must also add, we must not abandon one drop of oil or gas from Palestine, Palestinian gas or oil, which is being stolen by Israel. We must not abandon one letter from the word of Palestine, as Qaddafi tried to say when he spoke about the Isratin state. Every letter of the name of Palestine is just like every single bit of territory, sand, drop of water. Nobody has the right to abandon any of this, and nobody has the right to abandon this based upon any settlement or any agreement. Now, when it comes to establishing a Palestinian state on the 1967 territories, this is a Palestinian matter. This is something which is decided by our Palestinian people. However, what we would like to add is that any Palestinian entity or any Palestinian state, such a state must not be on account of the rest of Palestine, or the rest of the Palestinian territories, or the Palestinian soil, or Palestinian people. Our real aspiration, our real hope, all of us, is that the day will come whereby the Palestinian state will be established, an independent Palestinian state, on all Palestinian territories from the river to the sea. And this Palestinian state, God willing, will be established. On Al-Quds Day, we must remember the Palestinian prisoners, the Palestinian and Arab prisoners in the Israeli prisons. We must remember the Gaza Strip, which is subject to a siege, which is subject to an assault every single day. The Gaza siege, which is giving up martyrs, sacrificing martyrs day by day. We must remember also the West Bank. More territories are being stolen from the West Bank, and more settlements are being built on the West Bank. We must also remember the territories of 1948 and the people of 1948, the committed people, the beloved people, this territory which they are aiming to Judaize as well via new projects. We must also remember the Palestinian refugees in all different countries, especially in Lebanon. And I will go back to speak about these refugees when I speak on the issue of Lebanon. However, my dear brothers and sisters, at the time where we are remembering and recalling all of these issues and all of these difficult problems, these painful problems, we must also focus our attention on the fact that these problems are the result of the occupation. These are the result of one reason, the occupation of Palestine. And instead of going to address the problems which are a result, and instead of looking for a solution step by step, looking at each problem by itself, we must go directly to address the main reason, the real reason. If we can get rid of the occupation, then there will not be any problem regarding Al-Quds or refugees or settlements or a independent state, nor will there be a problem of prisoners or stolen resources or refugees. This was the call of Imam Khamenei on the Al-Quds Day, to go and address the real problem, the real reason behind the problem, which is the occupation of Palestine. All our efforts must be focused on addressing this reason, focusing on this reason, not focusing on the results. This is what we did here in Lebanon. When we addressed the real reason, all the repercussions faded away, and the problems which came as a result of the occupation also faded away. If Lebanon today, and if the region today, if they are suffering from problems from Israel, this is because of the occupation of Palestine. And so the occupation of Palestine is not the reason behind the hardships of the Palestinians only. It was always the reason behind the sufferings of the Palestinians and the Lebanese and Syrians and Jordanians and Egyptians, and also it's the reason behind the sufferings of all of the people in the region and the Ummah. So our efforts must be centered on this, focused on this point, especially after the horizon of negotiations has been closed. Day by day, the Palestinian people stress, whether they be outside Palestine or inside occupied Palestine, they stress that their choice is the choice of the resistance. And the latest operation, or the latest event we saw in Eilat, which shook the Zionist entity and its political establishment and its military and security establishments, what happened in Eilat shows that these people are determined, these people who are fighting and who are putting up with the repercussions and sacrifices after every single operation, after every single successful military operation, they are putting up with this. This is the way. This is the way which we reach the results. The Palestinian people, they chose, they made their choice. Nobody forced them to make this choice. And the Ummah, their responsibility, the responsibility of the Ummah on Al-Quds Day, is to stand side by side with the Palestinians, to support them, to assist them, to make them stronger. And as the Lebanese, via their resistance, via the support of their friends and those who are loyal to them in this Ummah, as the Lebanese were able to liberate their territories, the Palestinians will also be able, with our support, with our assistance, and with our standing side by side with them, they will be able to liberate their territories. Of course, the changes which we are witnessing in the region now, they are very important, and they serve the Palestinian cause and the interests of the Palestinian cause. Today, now, we take a look at some of these developments, and at the same time, we must put these developments, we must make these developments serve the Palestinian cause. And if there are any developments or negative changes which are occurring on Palestine and on the Palestinian cause, we must work in order to address these problems, to address these negative developments, address them in a wise way, in a logical manner. If I begin with Egypt and say a few words about Egypt, what we are witnessing these days in Egypt, the stance, the official stance and the popular stance, whatever be the magnitude of this stance, whatever be our evaluation, whatever be our expectations, this stance is a signal to a new era, a new stage in Egypt. If the Mubarak regime, if the Mubarak leadership still existed now and was still in control now, the reaction would have been different. Actually, the anger, the official Egyptian official anger, would have held the Palestinians responsible for the Eilat operation. And the issue of the martyrdom of Egyptian security officers, Mubarak will also have held the Palestinians responsible for this. Now, today, the Egyptian official stance and the more important of all, the Egyptian popular stance, those people who are standing in front of the Israeli embassy in Cairo and who are calling for the Israeli ambassador to leave, this didn't happen before. There is a big difference between Egypt sending a message to the Zionists and warning them, cautioning them against assaulting Gaza, as what is happening today. There's a difference between this and the Egyptian authority covering the war on Gaza, just like what happened in July in 2008. The assault and the war on Gaza was announced from Cairo at that time. There's a big difference when Egyptians protest and they take down the Israeli flag from the embassy and when the bullets are focused and target the Palestinian people, like what happened during the era of Hosni Mubarak, when the Egyptians wanted to protest in support of Gaza in 2008. When Egypt moves and takes steps, this means there is a strategic transformation happening in the region. Look, my dear brothers and sisters, what happened over the past few days, I will not call it an Egyptian movement or Egyptian efforts. I would like to call it Egypt has moved a bit. Just when Egypt moved a bit, Israel shook. Netanyahu, despite the very harsh repercussions of the Eilat operation, despite the fact that the Mujahideen in the Gaza Strip responded and targeted the settlements in southern Palestine by the Katyusha, despite all this, Netanyahu came out and told the Israelis, we cannot go ahead and with a military operation against Gaza, we cannot go ahead with a land invasion against Gaza because this will disrupt or will affect our relations with Egypt. The Egyptians didn't do anything, they just moved a little bit and look what happened. So imagine what would happen if the Egyptians step by step increase and take an even better stance, and this is what we are relying on, this is what we expect, because we know very well the greatness of the Egyptian people and the Egyptian army. Now I'll speak about Libya. I'm trying to speak quickly because we want to go in time for iftar and it's a very harsh sun. Now, regarding Libya, there is no doubt that the Gaddafi regime committed a lot of crimes and a lot of mistakes against his people and against the Palestinian cause. One of the crimes committed by Gaddafi against the Palestinian cause and against Lebanon was his holding and taking captive of Imam Musa Sadr, the leader, and his two colleagues, Sheikh Mohammed Yaqub and Mr. Abbas Badruddin. In these days, actually, at this time, they were taken captive. They were guests of al-Qaddafi. This crime, the crime of taking these people captive, was committed as a service to the Israeli project. We all know that Imam Musa Sadr, we all know what Musa Sadr meant to the resistance in Lebanon and in Palestine. We all know what he meant to the Palestinian cause. We all know what he meant to al-Quds. We all know what Palestine represented in his mind, in his decision-making. We all know what the Palestinian resistance meant to him. And he was the one who said that I protect the Palestinian resistance with my clothing, with my podium, during those years whereby the Palestinian resistance was being subject to the danger of disappearance, of destroyed. So Imam Musa Sadr was kidnapped and taken captive, and this led to all what happened after his captivity. All what happened after his captivity was a result of the targeting of the resistance, the Palestinian resistance and Lebanese resistance. And I don't want to go back in detail to this. This was the biggest crime which was committed. If Imam Musa Sadr had stayed and was still present in 1978 and after that, we would have witnessed big transformations and big developments in favor of the Lebanese and Palestinian resistance and the Palestinian cause and unity in Lebanon and Palestine. Today, we are looking forward. We look to our Libyan colleagues, to the revolutionaries, to the Mujahideen in Libya, and we expect that they would put an end to this painful cause and to this criminal captivity. And we know, and we are very hopeful, we are very hopeful that the Imam and his two colleagues will come back to Lebanon alive and well, God willing. Also, one of the other crimes committed by the Gaddafi regime is that it took Libya far away from Palestine and from the Arab world. Today, or some days he wants to go to Latin America, other days he wanted to go to Africa, and he denied any responsibility. He turned a blind eye to the Palestinian cause. Today, what we also expect, what we hope for regarding the revolutionaries and the mujahideen in Libya, we expect them to bring Libya back to the Arab world, back to Palestine. And we know the culture of the Libyan people. We know them very well. Such a people who fight at the occupation. What occupation? And they sacrifice hundreds of thousands of martyrs against their occupation. People like Omar al-Mukhtar, leaders of the resistance, such a people must go back to Palestine. Palestine must be a very important part of the Libyan decision-making and planning. And we know that the Libyan people today are up against very big responsibilities in preserving security and unity and rebuilding the state. However, the biggest, the most dangerous matter is independence and sovereignty. The Libyan state must have independence and sovereignty in light of the expected Western and American campaign to take control of Libya's decision-making and Libya's resources. Here, once again, we depend on the Libyans to defend and focus and confront this. Now, I'd like to speak about Syria. Now, on Al-Quds Day, what must be said, and nobody should be afraid to say this, whatever be the blames from anyone, what must be said, and nobody must ignore it, nobody must forget it, is that Syria has a very important stance and position. This Syrian leadership had a very important stance in the Arab-Israeli conflict and in the Palestinian cause specifically. It's enough today for me to focus on two points. First of all, the Syrian leadership and behind it the Syrian people, the beloved Syrian people, and the Syrian courageous army, they held on to the Syrian principles, the Syrian norms regarding Syrian terror rights. They held on to Syria's water and Syria's soil. And this Syrian leadership also held on to the Arab rights. Holding on to these rights, and on the other hand, there were pressures, American pressures, Western pressures against Syria. And over the past few decades, we saw collapses. The Soviet Union collapsed, so did the Arab world. We saw the American direct invasion for the Gulf area and also for Iraq. All this didn't shake the nerves of the Syrian leadership. It didn't affect the Syrians holding on to their rights, holding on to their rights and the Arabs' rights. And if the Syrians had abandoned, if it had weakened, let me speak very frankly, if this had happened, the settlement would have occurred in the region and the Palestinian cause would have been lost. Pressures were always being practiced to reinvigorate the Syrian negotiating track in order to isolate the Palestinian cause. However, the Syrians stood firmly and they didn't give in. So, my dear brothers and sisters, Arabs and Palestinians, the Syrians stood and the Palestinians are going ahead with negotiations. So what would have happened if the Syrians would have abandoned and surrendered? What if the Syrians had solved their problem with Israelis and had left the Palestinian cause and the Palestinians for their own fate? Where would the Palestinian cause have been today if that had happened? So I would like to say it is right to say that this Syrian leadership has played a very important role in preserving the Palestinian cause. We owe it to the Syrian leadership that the Palestinian cause was not destroyed and eradicated, because this cause was always an aim for all of the American and Western invasions and conspiracies in our region. And we must also not forget this stance as a condition for the Palestinian cause remaining and preventing it from being assassinated. What I must also focus on is Syria's support, and especially this Syrian leadership how it supported the resistance, and especially in Lebanon and Palestine. Not just standing in support of them, however, they provided support to them in Palestine and in Lebanon. And this is one of the most important factors. Until today, even the Iranian support, a lot of this support came via Syria. Were it not for the Syrian will and the Syrian stance, even the Iranian support maybe could not have reached Lebanon or could not have reached Palestine. When you sit down now in these territories, when you sit down here in southern Lebanon, in Jabal Amal, and when people look at you on their television screens, this territory maybe would not, or actually surely would have not been liberated were it not for our victory in the year 2000, and the resistance would not have been victorious in the year 2000 were it not for many factors. Most important of all, or one of the most important factors, is the Syrian stance, the stance of the Syrian leadership. Now you are sitting down on the area of Marun al-Ras, which enabled us to hang our heads high. This territory, this village, fought with the support of Syria. And I don't want to go into the details now so I don't bring about problems for the Syrian leadership. It wasn't only moral, political support by the Syrians, and I don't want to go into details, as I said. The resistance in Palestine, the perseverance in 2008, the strength of the Gaza, Gaza Strip today, I don't want to go into details as well, because I don't want to uncover certain matters regarding the Syrian leadership. However, at least the leaders of the Palestinian resistance movements in Gaza, they know very well the performance and the behavior and how the Syrian leadership played a very important role so that Gaza would persevere, so that Gaza would be strong, despite the fact that this performance and this support always brought about more pressures on the Syrian leadership and more threats against the Syrian leadership, American and Western threats. These two points must not be forgotten by anyone. This is on one hand. On the other hand, we all say and we all support the need for reforms, big important reforms in Syria, so that Syria will develop, so that Syria will become better, so that Syria will be stronger for the sake of its people, for the sake of its ummah, for the sake of the whole region, because of its very important position in the region. So we want in Syria, we want this nationalistic stance, and we also want in Syria, I don't say we, in Hezbollah, I say all of us, the Syrians, the Lebanese, the Arab people, the Islamic people, all those who love Palestine and Al-Quds, they want in Syria the strong nationalistic stance, and on the other hand, they want a strong Syria in reforms and in development. What does this mean? This means that all those who say that they are friends, all those who say that Syria is a friend and a brotherly country, and all those who allege that they care for Syria, they care for the Syrian people, and they care for the Syrian blood and the Syrian people and Syria's national unity, all of them must pursue, must focus their efforts to calm down the situation in Syria. There must be coherent efforts to calm down the situation in Syria. And the efforts must focus on heading towards dialogue and addressing issues in a peaceful manner. Any other approach, any other behavior is a danger to Syria and to Palestine and to the region as a whole. Those who are calling today for the intervention of the NATO militarily in Syria, do they really want a future for Syria, or do they want to destroy Syria? Those who are calling for Syria to go into a civil war, those who are calling today, and on many television screens, they use the sectarian, provocative language, sectarian incitement language. Syria's strength was always the fact that it was controlled by nationalist feelings. But some want Syria to become like Lebanon, a sectarian country which is ripped apart, a country whereby many different groups confront one another. In Lebanon, everything has a sectarian angle. Lebanon always lives on the cliff of a sectarian war which is being prepared for on the outside, in outside countries, or prepared for by some bad people inside Lebanon. Syria preserved its unity throughout history because it is being administered and managed by nationalist feelings. This was how it was, and this is how it must remain. those who try and speak in a sectarian way, those who are practicing sectarian incitement or using the language of sectarian incitement, want to take away Syria's position and role and want to destroy Syria. Today, there are some who want to divide Syria as a service to the project of the new Middle East. This project, which we tore apart here in Lebanon and in Gaza, together with Syria and Iran and all our beloved, all our friends in the July 2006 war. So, I, very frankly, on Al-Quds Day, I say that loyalty to Al-Quds and loyalty to Palestine and loyalty to Lebanon, even those, the Lebanese, who are helping to make the situation more tense in Syria and are sending weapons and are inciting people, those people, even those people won't remain because Lebanon will be affected. The events in Syria will affect the whole region, will reach the whole region. Any development, negative or positive, will affect the whole region. A negative development in Syria will be against the whole region, and a positive development will help the whole region. So at the day whereby we know, and as President Assad said just a few days ago, yes, America and the West, they want from the Syrian leadership, they want concessions from the Syrian leadership. They don't want reforms. The last thing America is concerned with is reforms. And this is shown by the fact that there are many other countries in the world who are subject, who are controlled by dictatorships, brutal dictators, I don't want to mention names, and they have no room, nor for democracy, nor for freedom of expression, nor for individual freedoms as well. However, these countries have the support and the protection of America and France and Britain and the West. So the issue is not about reforms. The issue is about concessions. We must stand together in support of Syria so that Syria does not make any concessions, so that Syria remains strong in its nationalist position, and so that Syria will be able to achieve its reforms in a comfortable way, with confidence, because under pressure, this will make the reforms a slow process. Nobody can go ahead quickly with reforms under pressure. And this is something which is of concern. Confidence, calm, openness, transparency, cooperation, focus on national unity. This is what opens the door to reforms. This has opened the doors greatly to reforms. And we know the seriousness of the Syrian leadership when it comes to reforms. Now I'll speak about Lebanon. In Lebanon, my dear brothers and sisters, Lebanon's position today, now we're speaking in 2011 from Marun al-Ras, Lebanon's position today in this Palestinian cause, in this Arab-Israeli conflict, Lebanon's position is very different than it was previously. Time and again, there were fears, the Lebanese expressed fears. Time and again, the Lebanese expressed fears that any equation in the region, any settlement in the region, any solution in the region will come on account of Lebanon, on Lebanon's account. Why? Because Lebanon is a weak link. This no longer exists now. Let the whole world hear me. Lebanon is no longer the weak link in this region, and never will a day come whereby Lebanon will be the weak link in the region. Lebanon, the strong Lebanon, is what protects the sovereignty of Lebanon and its independence and its interests. And so, when some people speak about their fears regarding naturalization of Palestinians, if Lebanon were weak, yes, we would have witnessed naturalization. But in a strong Lebanon, we won't witness naturalization of Palestinian refugees. If the whole world wanted naturalization and the Lebanese and the Palestinians in Lebanon rejected it, and both of them do, by the way, both of them do reject it. The Palestinians here in Lebanon, they reject naturalization. And this is what they express every day, on every occasion. Their cleansed blood on the border here in Marun al-Ras bears witness to the fact that they reject naturalization and they don't accept any alternative besides Palestine. And the Lebanese, if they agree on the issue of the Lebanese resistance army and people. Nobody in the world can impose on them naturalization. Yes, if some Lebanese want to make conspiracies and want to sell out Palestine and Lebanon to the Americans, and if they were in power, they might agree to naturalization. But we won't allow it. So the strong Lebanon, the Lebanon which has a will to reject naturalization, together with the Palestinian refugees here in Lebanon who reject naturalization, in light of this, there won't be a naturalization of the Palestinians, and no solution will come on Lebanon's account. And there were always fears that the regional issues, that for example a crisis between Israel and Lebanon will lead, Israel and Syria, sorry, will lead to an Israeli war on Lebanon, and that a problem between the Israelis and the Palestinians might lead to an Israeli war on Lebanon. There were always fears that a problem between Israel and Iran would lead to an Israeli war on Lebanon. Israel and Egypt, Israeli war on Lebanon. This era whereby Israel always expresses anger on Lebanon, this era has ended. If it had an inside crisis, it would always go ahead and wage a war on Lebanon. This used to happen before the old times, after 2000 and after 2006, this has ended. Lebanon has become a real problem for Israel. Israel runs away from this problem. It doesn't run to it. Lebanon has become a trap for Israel. Israel falls into trap. It doesn't set the trap anymore. And so, from this angle as well, we rest assured, Lebanon, its water, its resources, its territories, its hills, especially southern Lebanon, this always was a place which Israel wanted to take control of. Now, there is something which prevents this from being achieved, prevents the Israelis from taking control of this area. This new situation in Lebanon, what imposed this new situation? It was the equation of the Lebanese resistance army and people. We're not speaking about a theoretical equation. It's practical, real, on the ground, which was written by the blood, by the sacrifices, by the people who stood, people who were displaced, who supported, who stood with perseverance and paid a high price to fight with the resistance and join the army, the resistance which fought the army, which stood with perseverance. For all of these reasons, this is what we have today in Lebanon. On Al-Quds Day as well, the responsibility of the Lebanese is to preserve this equation for the sake of Lebanon and for the sake of Palestine and for the sake of Al-Quds. Yes, very frankly, some people outside Lebanon and some who are helping them here in Lebanon, by the way, I'm not saying there are people who are working in Lebanon, because those who are in Lebanon don't have the ability, actually, to target. They are part of a bigger process which is being managed and led by the West, the Americans, the Israelis, to strike this equation, to dismantle this equation of the resistance army and people, to divide it and to target each one by itself, people, army and resistance. And maybe even the aim is for them to confront one another, army, resistance and people to confront each other. That's what they've been working on. They always worked on a division and confrontation between the resistance and its supporters and its people. They always work on creating a divide or a rift between the resistance and the army. They relied on this. They always targeted the resistance directly. Today, on the other hand, we have a responsibility to preserve this equation, resistance, army and people. When it comes to the resistance, after the failure, the military failures, for example, in July 2006, and the security plots, such as targeting the former Hezbollah military commander, Imad Mughniyeh, because his blood increased our determination, increased our presence and our belief in our goal. There were many accusations made, and now they have reached the issue of the tribunal. I don't have the time to speak about this. However, let me conclude what was said by me previously and what was said by my colleagues. I spoke and I commented on the indictment which was published. And after that, a press conference was held, a legal press conference which focused on the legal perspective, and another technical press conference was held which focused on the technical angle, two press conferences which addressed from the legal and technical perspectives the value of what was in the indictment. And let me conclude today by saying, and I'd like to tell you, as day by day, as each day passes, the politicization of the tribunal is uncovered. The reason behind its establishment is uncovered. Everybody knows why it was uncovered, how it was formed, how its laws were established, how trials in absentia were held, which is something unprecedented in international tribunals, and how the investigation proceeded, and how Syria was targeted, and how the four generals were targeted and others, and then the focus and the targeting was against Hezbollah. We all know how the investigation was leaked. We all know how the false witnesses came, and how the false witnesses were protected and are still being protected, and how any evidence regarding Israel's involvement is being neglected. And so the indictment came to say that the evidence is weak and has no legal value. No legal value. This all shows the nature of the targeting, how the resistance is being targeted. Today, when I and my colleagues and my friends, when we explain and we try to clarify, it's not to convince the American administration, nor the Security Council, nor Belmar, nor Francine, nor Kassisi, nor other political people, politicians in Lebanon, because those people preemptively, they have put together the puzzle. However, what I'm speaking to, those who I'm speaking to are the people. We depend on the people's logic, the people, how they support their resistance, and we depend on the people because they realize the far-reaching goals of this new conspiracy in the tribunal. And because of the will of our people and the people of our Ummah, because of the public opinion which always supported the resistance, this resistance will overcome. And it is overcoming this conspiracy, this new conspiracy of the tribunal. And this tribunal and what was published by this tribunal and anything released by this tribunal, I say again, as I said before, it is of no value. And those who were targeted, the resistance fighters, they are people who are subject to injustice, those people who I mentioned in the indictment. And on the day of judgment, they will witness the injustice done to them. And this is something they should be proud of in the world, because they are putting up with the repercussions of the strength of the resistance. Now, regarding the army, which is also part of the equation, we all know, I don't want to open old files. The consecutive governments didn't do anything to strengthen this army, and everybody knows the issue of the Lebanese budget and how to equip the Lebanese army, etc., etc. Now, Israel is working in the whole world so that the Lebanese army won't be armed and equipped, and there are politicians here in Lebanon also demanding other countries to isolate the Lebanese government and to prevent any arming of a Lebanese army, any equipment of a Lebanese army. They are calling for the Lebanese army not to be equipped or armed. Now, with all due respect to all the state institutions and the efforts made by the different security agencies, the Lebanese army is the guarantee, is the main guarantee for civil peace, for coexistence, for the strength and solidarity of this country. When the army is targeted and when the army's leadership is targeted, and we know this is not the approach of a certain person, it's the approach of a certain political movement. Certain political movements in Lebanon are trying to target the army. Some of them are expressing their stances by word and some by their own words, and some fought against the army previously. Some expressed hatred against the army. When this army is targeted and when it's accused and when they practice incitement against the army and when they call on some officers in the army to announce that they have opposed the army and they no longer are with the army, what does this mean? What does this mean? And when we speak to the people, when day and night they work on striking this social fabric, when they try and reinvigorate the sectarian incitement, when any small or big incident occurs, even if there's something small which occurs, they try and exaggerate it. Anything without significance, they try and show it does have significance. They try and fabricate issues, create things. Sectarian incitement for years has been going on. What was the aim? The aim to strike the social fabric. For whose interests? When a certain Lebanese team cooperates with the foreign conspiracy, foreign plots, this talk about independence and freedom and sovereignty, this is empty talk. After WikiLeaks, it was shown that those who were taking charge of the Sida revolution was Feltman and the French ambassador in detail. And they used to speak about each other. Is this freedom? Is this independence? When the outside takes control of your country, why are they targeting this equation? On Al-Quds Day, I'd like to say that the responsibility of the Lebanese people is to preserve the equation of the Lebanese army, resistance, and people, to protect the army, to protect the resistance. That's the responsibility of the Lebanese people, and the Lebanese people have a responsibility of protecting their unity and to put an end, to put a limit to stand up to. And I want to say here on Al-Quds Day, I'll be very frank, they must stand up to anyone in this country. Anyone who is inciting against the resistance is serving Israel. Anyone who is inciting against the Lebanese army is making a service to Israel. Anyone who is speaking in a sectarian language is also serving Israel. If they understand it or not, this is something else, those who are speaking in this language. Now, tomorrow they'll say that Sayyid Hassan is accusing us of being agents for Israel. I'm not accusing anyone. What I am saying is that you are serving Israel, whether you know it or not, because those who are preventing Israel from targeting Lebanon, from taking control of Lebanon's riches, from Lebanon's resources, from targeting Lebanon's security, from imposing solutions on Lebanon, what's preventing all this is the equation of the army, resistance, and people. Because those who can transform Lebanon into a supporter of Palestine is this equation. And the equation which can make Lebanon a partner one day, and this is something which we look forward to, by the way. We look forward to the day whereby you won't only stand in Marun al-Ras to smell the scent of Palestine. We look forward to the day whereby you will smell the scent of Palestine inside Palestine. Inside Palestine. We look forward to the day whereby we won't speak in support of Palestine from a distance, but we look forward to the day whereby we will pray in Al-Quds, in the mosque, in Al-Aqsa Mosque, and in the church, in the Holy Church in Al-Quds. This is what we look forward to. How can Lebanon be an important part to play a role in order to reach this stage? How can Lebanon play a very important part to reach such a future, to protect this equation? Today, my dear colleagues, my dear brothers and sisters, you are the people of the resistance, of perseverance. You are the people who sit under the sun for hours for the sake of Palestine to express your loyalty and your commitment to Palestine. I, in the name of all of you, in the name of the resistance fighters, in the name of the martyrs, the families of the martyrs, the wounded, all the honorable people in the world, in the name of all of them, I'd like to tell you, and I'd like to tell the Zionist troops who are on alert, who I can see on screen and who can see me. You can see them directly, of course. I'd like to tell all of them, I'd like to tell all of you that this beloved territory will go back to their people. This is the will of God. This is the will of the faithful, of the Mujahideen. Imam al-Sadr told Abu Ammar, Imam Musa al-Sadr told him in UNESCO in the 1970s, he said, be aware that the dignity, the honor of Al-Quds will be liberated by the faithful only. And these faithful today, inside Palestine, in the 1948 territories, in Gaza, in the West Bank, in Egypt, in Syria, in Lebanon, in Jordan, in Iraq, in Iran, in Libya, in Tunisia, in all of our Arab and Islamic world, those faithful people, they are preparing for that day, the day whereby they will retrieve the territory for its people and its ummah, and whereby they will retrieve Al-Quds and the sanctities, so that their religion will be complete, so that their prayers will be complete, their fasting will be complete. And assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Well, on International Al-Quds Day, Hezbollah Secretary General Sayed Hassan Nasrallah addressed the crowds gathered in Marun al-Ras in southern Lebanon. He did open his comments saying that it's places like Marun al-Ras that symbolize the resistance against Israel. This day is to commemorate a cause, he said, which all the hegemonic powers are trying to push for this cause to be forgotten. The late founder of the Islamic Republic, Imam Khomeini, designated the last Friday of Ramadan as International Quds Day to raise awareness of the Palestinian cause and to protest against the brutal occupation of Palestine by the Israeli regime. Mr. Nasrallah also said that we must raise our voices high in disapproval to the Judaization of Al-Quds. Al-Quds and Palestine are parts of our culture. He also added that not one grain of sand, nor a drop of water, nor a drop of oil of Palestine must be abandoned, and all efforts must be focused on addressing the problem of occupation. Now, about Egypt, he mentioned that a new era is beginning, and also he moved on from there to comment on Libya. He said that there is no doubt that Gaddafi committed a lot of mistakes against his people and also against the Palestinian cause and against Lebanon, referring to the kidnapping of Imam Musa al-Sadr. Also about Syria, he said that Syria has a very important stance in the Palestinian cause, and this Syrian leadership played a very important role in preserving the Palestinian cause, and dialogue is the only approach for resolving Syria's matters. The U.S. and the West, he added, does not want to see reforms in Syria. Also, back to Lebanon, he mentioned that the Lebanese should preserve the current situation, the current equation of resistance army and the people. About the UN-backed Hariri Tribunal, Nasrallah also said that the tribunal's evidence is weak and has no legal value, and there are ulterior motives, political motives, behind it, which have been discovered. In closing, Hassan Nasrallah also said that we look forward to the day that Palestine is free. That was Secretary General of Hezbollah, Sayed Hassan Nasrallah, addressing crowds in southern Lebanon in Marun al-Ras.